Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
809, Dean Richards has a few days off. We need to talk entertainment. George Michael passed away. I have a few questions from the site fansided.com. The entertainment reporter, Josh Hill, on the phone with us. Josh, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. When you heard the news about George Michael dying of heart failure at the age of 53, did you think, wait a second, this seems a little fishy?
A little bit. I'm from Minnesota, so I kind of had the same feeling when Prince died.
Okay.
It was a little bit of an interesting situation where, you know, it's something up with this. But you never really heard that kind of stuff with George Michael. You know, going back and forth with other people that I know, they never really got that impression that he was up to this kind of suspicious stuff. There was no kind of suspicious details around his death. I think this is, you know, just an unfortunate 2016 death. It's sneaking one in right before the year ends.
53 years old, and he's talked about he's had problems with drugs. I wonder if that attributed to the heart failure. Of course it did.
Oh, it's got to, you know. You take a look at guys like George Carlin, who died 10 years ago. Seemed like a relatively healthy guy. He was older in age, but all that drug abuse that he did earlier in his life really kind of catches up to you.
Right.
But like you said, you know, 53, that's ridiculous to have somebody die that young. And someone so talented and someone who's touched so many people. I mean, it was just a hard one to take right at Christmas. It was just rough.
We were at Christmas time. I remember someone said, oh my God, George Michael just died. And we all went, what? We couldn't believe
it.
I felt the same way when Whitney Houston died. You know, I thought, oh, my God, no. I mean, maybe because it's, you know, our era, the 80s, you know, icon and stuff. But what got me is Josh, when they said he died peacefully.
Yeah, that was interesting.
With family and friends, I'm thinking, all right, well, so did they know it was coming? Was there a vigil by his bedside? I mean, that just was the word that struck me.
Yeah, it brought to mind when Bowie died. I remember I got a notification about that in the middle of the night, and I remember thinking to myself, I didn't even know he was sick. So, and I had that same kind of feeling with this, too. Maybe there was something that we didn't know. He was keeping it under wraps, kind of like a close-knit type of deal. But now you're hearing, like, you know, his longtime lover came out and said that he didn't know anything about this. So, you know, there's a lot of suspicion. When something tragic like this happens, you know, it strikes people in a lot of different ways. And we have a hard time trying to deal with it and find out, you know, how we truly feel about these things. And we jump straight to the suspicion thing. So
right.
You know, maybe it's a coping mechanism for us.
Yeah, we want answers. And you're right about David Bowie, because Bowie, they kept it under wraps for a year. He even did a goodbye album. Think about that.
Yeah.
How do you keep that a secret? That's crazy.
I mean, that was a big one. That, you know, kicked off 2016 with a bang.
Right.
And, you know, George Michael going out. So it's been a rough year for everybody.
It drives me nuts. You see the same people on Facebook. When someone dies, they have to be the first to post. It drives me crazy. It's the same people every single time. Up, some celebrity died. It's on so-and-so's page.
Well, you got to get on Twitter, though, Pete. Get it out there that you're R.I.P. George Michael. Was it wrong that we played Last Christmas the day that it happens? Was that a poor choice? I mean, it was one of his great songs, right? That's a bad piece of irony there for George Michael. I love George Michael. Too Funky, one of the great music videos of all time.
Got to have faith, freedom. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Carm was showing me George Michael videos in the office. You know, I know who George Michael is. That's the type of entertainer he was. Even though it wasn't really my time music-wise, he just had such a far reach as far as his, you know, influence and the songs and how important they were to everybody of so many different generations.
Right.
You know, it was a big loss for everybody who grew up with him and who didn't.
No doubt.
Josh Hill on the phone with us, entertainment reporter for fansided.com. I am going to see Manchester by the Sea today with my wife at 12:50. And Mark, I know you saw it and you told me that it's an extremely, extremely depressing, sad movie.
I like sad movies. I don't know if Josh has seen it or not.
I do not like sad movies. Brian's song, cry every time.
But don't you want to feel your emotions?
No.
You don't.
I want to laugh.
But see, I really want to see this movie.
Josh, what is it with this movie? It's got so much Oscar buzz right now, nominated for so many Golden Globes, Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck.
Yeah, is this a really special movie? You know, you're making a good decision by going to see that today. Everybody's going to have to see this movie. Like you said, you're getting all kinds of Oscar buzz. Really, Casey Affleck is what steals the show here. He's lived in Ben Affleck's shadow for a while. He's a talented actor. He's done a lot of things. He was in all three of those Oceans movies. He's done other projects. This is really kind of his coming out party, if you will,
right,
for, to, you know, to be a leading man in Hollywood. And it's a fantastic film. It is a little, it is sad. It is a sad film. But it's also one of the more real films that you'll see all year, as far as just the way the dialogue is written. Mm-hmm. Even the phone conversations that they have, there's scenes where, like, the dialogue will be cutting out, just like you are on the phone. So,
well,
it's fantastic.
Mark, can you give me the premise of the movie without giving it away?
The premise of the movie is you've got a broken man who was once in a very nourishing, loving family that is no longer, and he's trying to cope with how putting his life back together, basically.
Oh,
is that fair enough, Hill? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, without spoiling anything, that's the basic gist of the film. It's a performance piece. You know, it's definitely Oscar bait, but it's good Oscar bait. So that's the best find you can get.
Does he get happy at the end? Am I going to leave
no.
saying
what? Not really.
Come on, man.
A little bit.
Josh, why did they always put the, and it's just every year, and you know, the Oscar-nominated movies are always, of course, Oscar-worthy, but why do they always release every movie in November, December, mainly December?
My theory is everybody has a short attention span, but that's maybe me being a little...
Yeah. I would be one of those people. Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, the summer is kind of reserved for your big blockbusters because not many people have much to do over the summer if you're out of school or out of, you know, you got work breaks and stuff like that. That's when your summer blockbusters come out. And this is more of a nuanced time of the year when films are coming out. So it's kind of like the last push. You want to be seen last before they start voting. So it's that old adage.
What happened to the Brad Pitt World War II movie that came out at Thanksgiving? I wanted to see that. Now it's gone. It came and went.
That's a good example of an Oscar bait movie that fails. So it's got everything that's supposed to work for. It's got Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard's in it, Robert Zemeckis is directing it. It's got everything going for it, and it just doesn't work. That's what happens when a movie doesn't come together. They try to rush it out. That's usually why you see some of these movies. Like, there's a movie about astronauts and the Apollo mission coming out in January. That's usually a sign that the movie's not good, that the studio doesn't have a whole lot of faith in it, so they're going to release it right at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But to have a Brad Pitt movie come out in November like that, especially a movie that you've got so many great people behind, to have that fail and flame out like it did is just, you know, it happens, but it was shocking to see it with that movie.
Any movie that's released in January is a dog, am I right?
Usually. That's when you get your horror movies coming out and that's kind of the studio dump. They want to get all the crap out right away. And then get into the good stuff later.
What's the last good Brad Pitt movie?
Oh, I would probably have to say Inglorious Bastards was the last good
okay.
one.
Okay, I
like
Tarantino.
I was going to say Thelma
yeah.
Louise.
No, he's done a few since then.
Oh,
he's great in the Ocean movies.
Yeah.
I loved him in the Ocean movies, but I'm trying to think. Yeah,
I gotta.
Yeah, it's really hit and miss with Brad Pitt. He did one with the Coen brothers a couple of years ago that people forget about. You know, Burn Before Reading. That was a good one. But
never saw.
You know, with Brad Pitt, he does these big movies, and he can go do these small movies. And you know, with the staying power that he has, it's a question of whether or not his stardom has passed him by, and if we're in a new era. So,
boy, he needs money too. He's going through that divorce right now. I kind of want to support him. Go ahead, Mark.
Moneyball?
Oh, Moneyball was great.
Give him credit
for
Moneyball.
Moneyball was great.
A River Runs Through It. Remember the pretty movies?
No, he had the long hair. It was kind of a mullet-esque thing going on with his hair.
Yeah, it was Legends of the Fall-ish.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was in 12 Years a Slave. What role did Brad Pitt?
Oh, yeah, wasn't he a...
Never saw it. Happy ending in that one?
Mean Man in that one?
No. I need happy. I really do. I need happy movies.
The movie you're seeing today, I would see Sing before I'd see that.
I saw Sing last week. Loved it.
Yeah. Really?
I got choked up when the elephant sang at the end.
72% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, Pete.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
It's like American Idol with farm animals and circus animals. That's what it is. It's a feel good. You'll be happy. And I'm not a musical guy, but people keep saying, go see La La Land.
Yes.
Really?
La La Land is... Yeah, it's fantastic. It's, you know, Hollywood likes to pat itself on the back. It likes movies about Hollywood. Here's La La Land, which is not only a film about Hollywood, but it's a musical. So it goes back, it harkens back to the good old days of Hollywood where everything was a musical, a big studio piece. And, you know, you've got Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day who was wondering if they could maybe be the new Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks duo in these kind of romantic comedy type movies. I know Carm's a big fan of romantic comedies. He talks about them all the time.
I love a good rom-com.
Do you?
I'm going home to watch When Harry Met Sally for the 100th time.
Oh, I love that movie. Never gets old.
Oh, man.
starring Carrie Fisher.
Why do you roll your eyes?
Ryan Gosling is the new Brad Pitt. Can we say that?
He could be. I mean, he's going to be in that new Blade Runner movie, so he's got a lot going for him. He's got, you know, and he's a great actor. He's a fun guy. So,
he's hot.
Brad Pitt's starting to fade away a little bit. You got guys like Ryan Gosling coming up to take the mantle, which, you know, I won't complain about. I'll watch him in anything.
Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, they're both, they're nice to look at. I'm sorry. They are.
You don't have to apologize.
No, I'm not even sorry.
Yeah, don't apologize.
You agree with me, Carms.
I do.
Josh Hill, fansided.com is the website, entertainment reporter. Josh, great to talk to you, man. Good job today.
Yeah, it was good to talk to you.
All right, man. Take care. He was. You guys work together?
I do. Josh is very well versed. I hope you enjoyed the
He's great.
I enjoyed Josh
I'm going to steal that now for my other shows.
Feel free.
That from Cochran.